The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
This morning, Bahamas. It is Monday, the 26th of April, 2021. You're tuned into Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. That must mean you're on the clock with Erin Green. On the clock, we engage organizations, institutions, social and cultural leaders, and ordinary people to better understand the impact of public policy, private sector development, and emerging social and consumer trends. On the clock, we have conversations that help us understand and navigate a rapidly changing Bahamas. Today's show is brought to you by the Department of Inland Revenue. We're streaming live audio and video on guardiantalkradio.com. You can listen in on TV on Cable Bahamas Channel 969 or Flow Channel 612, or download the Guardian Radio app for your Apple or Android smart devices and listen to our audio feed or watch us on our video feed right there on the Guardian Radio app. You can also text us on the Guardian Radio text line. That's 422-4796, 422-4796. That's powered by BTC. Standard text rates apply. You can also call us at 323-6232. That's 323-6232 or 325-4316, 325-4316 or 325-4259. I have an ad here this morning. The census goes digital. During the months of April to July, the Department of Statistics will be conducting a listing exercise to build a database to support the first ever national census data collection via a digital and online process. The listing exercise will include all buildings and dwellings in New Providence, Grand Bahama, and the Family Islands will be listed by enumeration district. This message was brought to you by the Department of Statistics. Well, good morning, Bahamas. This morning is a What's in the News Monday. I don't want to call it an open line because we got so much in the newspaper we could talk about, but it's an open line. And I got plenty, plenty to talk about this morning. I'm a disorganized person. I procrastinate. I don't like to clean. I'm uncomfortable asking people for anything. You see, that's the Acklands in me. And I know these things about myself. And because I know these things about myself, I plan my days and my life to minimize the negative impact of these particular traits as I work on them to better myself. You see, I sell local produce. I don't have a shop. I don't have a work fridge or coolers. All I have is logistics and the audacity to think I could fit half of a farm fridge in my regular house refrigerator. So I sell local produce, and I have to purchase the produce on the day of the market, if I'm lucky, on the day before, and store it in my fridge until the market. See, but you can't wait until you have the produce in your hand to figure out how you're going to store it in the fridge. The process doesn't start when I open the fridge door. It's an ongoing process. In fact, every time I open the fridge for a snack, for some water, just to smile at all the things I shouldn't be eating, but I can eat anyway, I'm also thinking about how I will store my produce on that given day. Even when I'm prepping meals and cooking meals and eating meals, I'm thinking about the space that food or those leftovers will occupy in my refrigerator. And the space I will need for the produce that has to be refrigerated. See, it's the same thing when you plant tomatoes. You don't wait until the tomatoes start turning red to figure out how you're going to harvest them, how you're going to store them, who you're going to sell them to, how you're going to process them. You don't wait until you start seeing the first flowers to order your capa, to find bottles, to start marketing your bottled tomato product. You got to have a plan, and you got to have logistics. But you can't just have logistics by yourself. It don't really work in a silo, right? You have to understand the logistics necessary to operate your life on a daily basis, but you also have to understand the systems and the logistics of the systems that you interact with on a daily basis. And they have to be understandable. And you have to have access to information about those systems. Historically, how they were formed and why they were formed, what they're supposed to do, how they actually function in the real world, what your realistic expectations of that system can be. I thought about that this morning while I was looking at the newspaper. Full of news. And it just made me think, does the government have a logistics team? Are they thinking about these decisions and policies that they make on a regular basis? Where is this logistics team? Where can we, I, the average citizen, find information about any particular system so I could understand why it was formed, what it was supposed to do, how it operates now, and what I need to do to be able to use that system? We can talk about that a bit more. Remember, the call-in lines are 323-6232, 325-4316, and 325-4259. And the text line is 422-GR96. So I don't know if you guys have heard the word, but I heard that there's a potential conch poisoning episode happening right now. And so because the Ministry of Health, I'm sure, is busy with its COVID pandemic, I just make a note. If you have eaten conch and have experienced upset stomach, vomiting, diarrhea, dehydration, right? Go to a clinic. Report. And if you can't go to a clinic, if you're treating at home, try and call into a clinic and report what you think is suspected conch poisoning. If you've had conch or even fish, because it may be something in the water, right, that's causing this issue. And so it made me think of three things. Is this a matter of unsanitary conditions where conch is being stored? I don't know exactly where people ate conch from that got sick, but I've been driving on East Bay Street over the last week, 2 weeks, and the sanitation station next to Potter's Key does not smell like it's in the best of working conditions. B, is it environmental factors? We had the St. Vincent and the Grenadines volcano, La Soufrière. Our weather systems, the meteorological office told us that we would be experiencing impact from that with ash in the air or sulfur in the air. Is this somehow impacting our waters, particularly where conch is stored in the water? Or is it just a matter of rising heat? Are we taking account of the yearly shift in temperature in our local waters? And this is this a matter of an environmental factor in the water and increased heat, creating a condition where conch stored in the water is unsanitary? Anyway, all of these things should be considered. I got a text here. Hi, did the PM say privileges for the vaccinated will expand? Well, that's the second point of my discussion today. I think it is. We can infer from the lack of clarity in the statements that they will be expanded. In fact, on the head of the Guardian, it says, PM says privileges for the vaccinated will be expanded. Well, first of all, I have not seen yet a policy statement from the government indicating what the existing privileges are, what they will be once people are fully vaccinated. The story says weddings and other events will be permitted to take place without masks and social distancing requirements once everyone in attendance is fully vaccinated. Minutes also said that in order for indoor dining to resume, some restaurant workers will also have to be vaccinated. He made the comments on Friday following the recommissioning of, and I think this is hospitals at the newly renovated wards at Rand Memorial Hospital in Freeport, Grand Bahama. Well, listen, there's so many questions to ask here. And the first question I had on my list was, why do MPs, cabinet ministers, and state actors make policy statements at the opening of government facilities and at other events like private meetings with civic organizations? Now, when I say private meeting, what I mean is, like, it's a civic organization hosts a lunch-in, and there is a keynote speaker, and that speaker is an MP or a cabinet minister, and they often make pronouncements at these meetings as to policy changes, or they're making, you know, giving us a hint of the direction they're heading in. But that's a private club, man. You're not speaking to the public. How is it that this is has this become the primary avenue for dissemination of government information and policy? Now, let me make a note here, because I will be fair. On my WhatsApp, I got two feeds that I'm connected to. One is the BIS, that's the Bahamas Information Services feed, where you can get access to all of the information that BIS disseminates via the digital platform. And the second is a page called Bahamas Daily Headlines. And they basically print, they give you the headlines of the front pages of each section in the morning. They send you a PDF so you could go in and look at the entire paper that they've uploaded. They also disseminate government communications, primarily from BIS's WhatsApp feed. You could go online on Facebook, and you could search that, Bahamas Information Services, or search your daily Bahamian headlines, and you can find those. So there are a couple of mechanisms the state uses to disseminate information, but it's not sufficient. And furthermore, this type of information should not be disseminated at events of this nature at all. So the next question is, where is the policy statement outlining the vaccine rollout plan? Not just the logistics of how you're going to deliver the vaccines, right? But a statement as to what, quote unquote, privileges that you intend to afford to people that are vaccinated. Now, let me make a pause there. Quote unquote privileges. The next question I have to ask is, why is the government using the term privileges? Right? Are you trying to entice us to take a vaccine? Because as opposed to enticing us, perhaps laying out a coherent, a clearly articulated plan would convince people to take the vaccine. Letting people know well ahead of time what you intend to do is a good way to build trust between you and your citizenry, generally, specifically the people you want to take this vaccine. Limiting, and I will use this word very carefully, considering outrageous statements by state actors as to their intentions in terms of vaccinations of staff in restaurants. That isn't on either. That can't stand. And that's another point. Why is a state actor, even if he is not acting in that particular capacity, making statements that clearly contradict the government's position? Now, mind you, the government's position is simply, we ain't gonna have no mandatory vaccinations. That ain't really saying anything. But the Mr. Scott statement was a clear contradiction to that. And how could Mr. Scott make that statement? Are we to presume that because he is a state actor that he was privy to documentation and information that the average citizen is not privy to? It's a difficult thing to run to. I got a couple more texts here. Text says, hi, do not be surprised when they tell you that you cannot vote unless you take the vaccine. Well, see, that's another point. That's why I'm so concerned about this word privileges, right? Because we talk about the right to vote. We don't talk about a privilege to vote. And this whole voting thing has me very concerned because we still have not had a clearly articulated statement as to the policy for Bahamians displaced by Dorian who intend to resettle in Abaco and would like to continue voting in Abaco. We have not seen a clear statement, no contribution from the legal community. And now this text raises a very great concern. When you use the word privileges, what are you talking about? Another text here, the logistics happen after the fact. Not enough people accepted the vaccine, so they opened to all adults. This vaccination exercise may be a waste of time because there are not sufficient supplies to be bought. Thank you, texter. This logistics thing is very important, as I've been asking. And a number of people have been asking about the vaccine rollout plan, right? If people are required two doses to be fully vaccinated, A. If B, there is a definitive timeline, the second dose has to be taken at a particular point. C, the doses themselves are time sensitive. And once a vial has been opened, it has to be finished, or all doses must be used within a certain period of time, right? So you got to work out all of those logistics. And I figure these logistics is why they quickly lowered the age of people who could take vaccination. Because you have this time constraint once vaccines or doses are open. But all of us are just guessing. All we could do is guess and surmise and presume because we have not been given sufficient access to the information necessary to engage in informed reasoning. Got another text here, Ms. Green, how are you? FNM, three straight. Well, look here, you haven't texted me in a while, and I'm so glad you texted me this morning. If you are tuned into the live feed on my personal Facebook page, you'll see I'm wearing this shirt called Thing 3, right? Hey, I ain't promoting nothing. I'm wearing this shirt today in honor of the FNM and their supposed attempt, what it looks like is to protect itself in a political debate by minimizing the number of participants. And they say none of y'all third parties should be allowed to come to the table. So I wear my Thing 3 shirt today in honor of the FNM and the audacity that it takes. And so, like, with these sorts of tactics, it may be, you know, it may be three straight true. Another text here, good yawning. What do you think about the government subsidizing the cost for the COVID-19 test for all the people who will not or do not want to take the COVID-19 injection? Please let them know that they could keep the COVID-19 injection for themselves and their families and friends and give us legalized marijuana. We will pay for it. The second part of the text is a request to consider alternate healing options to the standard Western protocol. But the second point, I see, Kermit, we got a caller on the line. I'll get to you in a moment, caller. I've got a texter who texted me on my... And he compelled me to talk about this very same thing, logistics. But this particular thing, why isn't testing free? And I'm going to get to that, back to that point when I'm finished with this caller. Caller, you're on the clock.
Yes. How you doing?
I am good, thank you. How you doing?
Tough shape. I am a little upset and frustrated right now.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm going to exercise my universal and national right to civil disobedience as it relates to taking this vaccine. And I'm going to add, I'm not going to advise anyone to follow me, but what I'm telling the government and what I'm telling anyone who wish to be the government, Amos Jr. Miller is not going to take the vaccine. And the reason is simple. Not that I don't believe in vaccine, but until I get justice, okay, for, as it relates to the discrimination against me and my job, I do not operate a motorized business on the beach. So there is no reason for my business to be victimized, okay, by a foreign entity using Bahamian people, families, last names to interfere with my universal right, inalienable and indivisible right to exist peaceably in the world and in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas, wherever I go. So I am, of this day, y'all can figure out whatever the day it is, tell my competent authority, my leader of my country, the Prime Minister, Amos Jr. Miller, is not going to take anyone's vaccine, because furthermore, this is my humble submission.
Thank you very much, Amos. You see that word you used there, civil disobedience. You see, this is sort of the thing I'm delving into. How could me not taking the vaccine be civil disobedience if the Prime Minister said that taking the vaccine is not mandatory? Right? That's it right there. Could it be civil disobedience if it's not mandatory? Right? See, here's my thing. On top of this statement, or not on top of, behind, on the side, slightly in the shadows, right? Or maybe it's in the front, right in our face, is the suggestion, right, that if you're not doing it, you're really hurting the country, right? If you're not taking the vaccine, you're really doing something wrong. But am I doing something wrong, or am I not doing something wrong? As a citizen, I have the right to not take the vaccine, right? What provisions are being made to ensure that people who do not take the vaccine will not be unduly disadvantaged, or, like I use the term, I'm not a lawyer, irrevocably disadvantaged, right? Because they don't take it. The next thing. Although the vaccines are free, we can see that we have a logistics issue in terms of obtaining vaccines. So what if I can't take the vaccine because it's not available to me? Right? What if it's not available to me and I cannot take it? Does that mean now that I am a bad citizen? Have I done something wrong? And what if I can't take it for health reasons? Right? What if I decide not to take it because I don't want to risk any of the potential side effects? Will I be unduly disadvantaged? I'd also like to know where the Bar Association is. Well, let me not start there. Where is the legal community? Where is the Bar Association? Where is the Eugene DePuch Law School? Where is the discourse from the legal community helping citizens frame a sensible or reason? Us unlearned people need the assistance of the legal community to give us a scope of what the conversation really is. In fact, where is the Attorney General's office, right, with a policy statement as to the legal ramifications of vaccinations and mandatory vaccinations? Now, in today's paper, we have a statement from the AG. The headline is, Replacement for Emergency Orders Still in Consultation. Replacement for Emergency Orders Still in Consultation. Is this the vaccine protocol here in another name? And another question is, with which stakeholders is the AG's office consulting? Whom are you speaking to? Are you speaking to us, the citizens, about this? Right? And even though we don't have the legal literacy necessary to help you frame law or help you draft law, certainly our position, our thoughts on a matter as important as this should be considered in the process of drafting this new bill. Another text here, what kind of logistic that is? The COVID-19 shirt free, but they won't charge the poor hungry people for the COVID-19, but they want to charge the poor people for the hungry COVID-19 tests. And back to that point. So I got a private text. Why are tests not free? He suggested that this is why we have seen and may continue to see a proliferation of people selling fake tests. Because A, they're cheaper. In one instance, one of the people brought before the court said that I took a valid test, but it expired before I could travel. And feeling that I was still within the safe period, I got a fake test to travel, right? Do you know how many people on social media have indicated that they're going through the process, they've done everything properly, and then they cannot communicate with the government's agency within the timeline necessary, and then have to re-cancel and rebook flights? Why is the testing not free? Why are masks not free? Why are we not giving people masks as opposed to fining them? Anyway, Kermit, I see we got another caller on the line. Caller, we're going to get to you in a second. Now, the text said, God labeled the conch unclean. Keep eating and see if poisoning will stop. Listen, that logic is not... Okay, you believe that God said that conch is unclean. That's great. That's fine. I appreciate that. That's a religious perspective. It should be respected. Nobody should ever force you to eat conch, ever, in life. But I don't think that's the reason why we may be seeing conch poisoning right now. I am sorry, caller. My producer was attending to something. Call right back. There we go. Got a caller on the line. Caller, you're on the clock.
Hello, how are you doing?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
I'm okay. This is another talk show, or?
What do you mean if this is another talk show? First of all, this is the best talk show in the history of Junkanoo white people in the whole world. Second of all, you on the clock with Aaron Green.
Oh, Aaron Green, okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Thanks so much, but I was trying to come.
You was trying to catch Dwight?
Yes.
I'm glad you didn't call me to talk about money. Because all I'm going to tell you is I am opening a new bank, and it is called Suckers National Bank, and feel free to deposit all of your cash, sea grape, mangoes, scarlet plum, and sour sop with me. I can keep your things safe. Safe from you and safe from all of them other people. I got another text here. Aaron, last week Amos just said he will take the vaccine and he's ready for it, regardless what others say. Now he's saying something different. Some of these callers are really need to stop with their foolishness. Well, thank you for sending that text. Amos, I would then be very interested in finding out what caused you to change your mind. Right? And that's a fascinating thing. If you were resolute that you were prepared to take it, and now you've decided that there's no chance that you're going to take it, what are the things that caused you to change your mind? I have a text that says, you are being pedantic, Aaron. In order to drive, you need a license. In order to travel, you need a passport. In order to borrow money, you need a steady job. These, much like the vaccine, are not examples of people being disadvantaged. Very specious statement that you are making. Well, listen. I don't think that the vaccine situation is the same as a license in order to drive. the license is to ensure that you have reached the standard necessary to operate a vehicle safely on the road. Now, mind you, given our current driving culture and behavior, that's a funny example, right? A passport is needed in order to travel. That's about identification, ensuring that you know who is who and who is present in your country. We got another text on, another caller on the line, Kermit. Caller, you're on the clock.
A pleasure. Good morning, Mrs. Green. How you doing, madam?
I am good, thank you. But listen, I am still Miss Green. Why don't be deterring these by them?
Oh,
let them shoot their shot.
You know we in the Bahamas, and we just mix up all the words.
Yeah, man, like, you're right.
You know, it goes like Wednesday, ain't Wednesday, it's Wednesday.
Oh, yeah.
With a V.
Mm-hmm.
And vacation got a W.
A vacation.
Yeah, but see, a vacation.
It makes sense.
On a Wednesday.
But Sparky, it makes sense, right?
Yeah.
Because these people talking about vacation at home, I want a vacation. That's what I want. Don't fool me with no vacation at home. A vacation me.
And I had a fella call you for the bank, and he was asking if it was a talk show.
Well, no, he was calling for a different talk. He was calling for a different host.
Oh, he was calling for a different host. He making up for the hours. COVID got, he's still on lockdown, eh?
Well, look here. This is it. We underestimate the impact of these lockdowns and drastic changes in the way we function on our lives.
Boy, look here. It really has changed the world. I'm a person that I love to watch international news.
Mm-hmm.
BBC, you know, CNN, all of them. I go from channel to channel trying to find out. Basically, all of them saying the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Other than America, America channels only talk about America news. Unless some emergency happened around the world, like a bombing.
Right, a global thing.
Or a submarine gone missing, or a volcano erupts somewhere. Then they switch up about half a day, and then if ain't none of their people get hit, then they come back home. They check them, you know, more.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, yeah.
But, you know, another thing, you know, you say it's a halfway open line. Even it's amazed me, some of these talk show hosts, when they first started, they'd be begging everybody to call them until they get a little popular. Popular, they know everything. Some of them are so, I don't know what to say, but I'm like, they know everything. Anybody call it, they insulted the people who they used to beg to become their fans.
Well, you know,
they tell people to call them, give them the numbers. They don't answer the phone.
But
then
this is it.
Then they blame it on the producer. He didn't know he had no call because the producer let him know this and that and that. I think y'all got lights in the front of y'all telling you when the call's coming through and things, right?
Man, Sparky, watch this. We can't engage in this type of conversation on the air, man. Okay, but I can make this point here. The producer in that room is not only attending to my needs, you know.
I know.
He's working a whole studio job.
You know, I'm often I've been in radio studios.
Yeah.
What's going on. The producer sometimes be in another room.
Yeah, and then here's the next thing about this sitting behind the mic thing, right? It's sort of the same thing with these politicians. You got to fake it till you make it, Sparky. You got to have an air of confidence about you. It's the same thing with parents. I get up in the morning with these children and be half-stepping. You got to have the confidence about you that your children trust. You got your world and their world under control. They could go and cheer in the way they're supposed to cheer
in. In my day, if you come over there,
yeah.
In my day, when you wake up, the parents used to take time to make your breakfast. You sit down and eat breakfast before you go to school. They might give you a little sandwich in one brown bag, a couple shillings to buy one soda or some little peanut or something.
Or some little snack.
At school during the day. These days, they don't wake up and they don't make no breakfast with the children.
But look,
nobody sit around the table and have prayers and say nothing with the children. The children jump out after the parents that go out to wake up. They got to catch the jitney. The children got their money to catch the jitney. We had to walk to school.
Sparky, I got
two more points before I go.
Quick.
This thing about these people who making sure that anybody answer me yet. Making sure that the staff have to be vaccinated, else they can lose their job. Now, don't make sure the customers coming in are vaccinated.
Thank you very much. This is something that needs, thank you, Sparky. That's something that has to be clearly articulated. Before I respond to the rest of that, caller, you're on the clock. Good morning.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you now.
And good morning, Aaron. Good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah. because they say you don't pronounce it right sometimes.
Listen, once you got to buy Gatamarin in your hand, pronounce it however you want.
Yeah. If you had enough time, I would have asked you that thing about some people saying morning and good morning. For some reason, growing up as a child, I don't know who dealt with me or make sure I misunderstand this morning, but I like the good yawning thing. And you talk about the breaking news with the Kong person and stuff like that. What is important to know, although I hear them talking about unclean and stuff like that, right? Uh-huh. What is important to know is that the Kong, what in some of these restaurants here on the island, all of them might not come from that area which you were speaking about
right.
earlier. I think they come from all over the Bahamas.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe deal with that situation. I think for so much years now, growing up as a child, we know we passed that area there and stuff like that. I don't know if that's the best place for them to do it, if it's helping Paradise Island or whatsoever, but they need to maybe. And that's a double whammy because they just had a fire there, and, you know.
Yeah.
If the people going through something, I know they need all the sales together, but everybody need to be careful. You know, that's something we putting inside us. And all the pound cane come from there, come from all over the Bahamas. But, Ms. Green, tell me something. Why do you think so much people hesitant about taking this vaccine? And I know you have, like, the 7 days in Jehovah's Witness, maybe what don't fool with them kind of things, them, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I understand the prime minister and leaders, them saying that around the world, saying that it ain't mandatory. You can't, you know, must you do it. But they still, in some way, saying if you don't do it, you like, you can't do this or you get it. Or if you do it, you could do this and you could do that. Tell me something. With the people being hesitant, you think it's any truth? You think they really trying to kill us? Like some people saying, and you think these waxing with these leaders, like prime ministers, the pastors, all the politicians, you think they real? Because that's some of the questions. Some people might say it's stupid and dumb, right?
Mm-hmm.
But that's some of the questions in people's mind. Are they really trying to kill us? Because, I mean, if the waxing can help us, I mean, I don't know if they're doing a good job enough to make sure we understand that. Because right now, people wondering if this a game or what. And it shouldn't be a game. You keep up the good work.
Thank you. Well, look here, that's an important point you made there. You know, are we truly trying to find out why people are hesitant about the vaccine? There are a myriad of reasons why people are hesitant about taking the vaccine. And the government should have been aware of this long before they started this particular vaccination protocol or program. We know that traditionally, Africans in the diaspora, the descendants of people who lived through the enslavement of Africans in the transatlantic slave trade in global North and Western systems, medical systems, right? That's a cultural thing. For a lot of us, it's even unconscious. And then there are examples, proven things that were once conspiracy theories, proven of medical mischief. Right, of using Africans and people of color to experiment on them, right? These things, these concerns are well documented. The government, in its attempt to operate a full vaccination program, should have taken all of these things into consideration and created a public awareness and engagement campaign that spoke honestly to the concerns of the people, whether those concerns are real or perceived. See, it doesn't matter whether they are real or perceived. Your job is to engage them about them with information. The second thing is we've allowed the political culture to devolve to the place where if I am of a political, it's the other party. It's as simple as that. And so the state should have engaged properly, actually engaged in a bipartisan, nonpartisan campaign of all political leaders, all speaking on the same page to ensure that everyone knew that this is not a political exercise. But I did run on for a little bit. And let me make this point. Good yawning this morning is something IT from the spot from Uncle Sarah, Jason Evans, Leah Aeneas, and the founder who is passed now, whose name I cannot remember. That's an improv comedy troupe, and that's where I teef that from, and I use that all the time. I got another text here. I'm coming to you in a minute, caller. Hi, everybody is not built alike. Example, penicillin can be great for someone but terrible for another. Yes, you're absolutely right. Great show as usual. Question, why people just don't be socially responsible so these corona numbers could go down. Dexter, whether you intend on taking the vaccine or not, still remember to be socially responsible. And for the people who are going to take the vaccine, that's not a privilege that you get. You still need to be concerned about the impact of your actions on people who are not vaccinated. I got a caller on the line. Caller, you're on the clock.
Hey, good morning, Ms. Green. How are you doing this morning?
I am good, thank you. How you do?
I am highly blessed. Let me ask you a question.
Yes, sir.
When is government going to get something right? Let's be real, Ms. Green.
Mm-hmm.
When you are, you know, what me and someone was talking yesterday. They said that they're tired and sick and tired of prime ministers being lawyers. You have a doctor. You have a doctor in the time of basically crisis with this.
Yeah, right.
And nothing, Ms. Green, nothing. That's why so many people in this country are so reluctant to take the vaccine.
Yeah, that's
a problem. Why, Miami, someone asked me yesterday if I take it. I take it, you know, Ms. Green.
All right.
But I don't want no one to believe that I have to take, in order for me to go anywhere in this country, I have to take that. That's what they can burn. Listen, Ms. Green, you don't have to be a rocket scientist to figure these things out, you know. It's common sense. I think it was who says this? The Prime Minister Karen Spock with like a mosquito. He said that, in other words, he noticed what's going to happen. They noticed, Ms. Green, and eventually, Ms. Green, you can hold me to this. Eventually, certain set of people gonna hold. Whereas if you work for them and you don't have the vaccine, you cannot work. But the funny part about it, what if I come inside your restaurant, Ms. Green, and I don't have the vaccine, but I still come in there, I patronize your business? What's the difference? What is the difference?
I hear you.
My question to you again before I hang up. When is this government that was here from 2017 that won overwhelming, all right, overwhelming 35-4, when are they going to get something, not only the COVID, something right? Have a good day, Ms. Green.
Thank you. Look here, let me just make a quick point before I get... Listen, the problem is systems. Prior to the 2017 election, while I was participating on Lester Cox's show in the studio, I annoyed the life out of Lester by insisting every time I was on the show and we were leading into the election that we asking all of these questions, but they ain't the right questions because nothing will change with governance until we fix the systems. We could put anybody in those seats, but unless they have the capacity to see the system, to understand what it's supposed to be, to articulate where it's going wrong, and to reform it. Ain't nobody gonna ever get anything right. But it's particularly troubling in this instance because people put all of their faith in the FNM. People say, we're gonna take the little rhetoric because we trust in that behind the rhetoric is an actual plan. And people are now very disappointed. Because they're not certain whether you have one even now. Let me get to the next caller. Caller, you're on the clock.
Good morning, Aaron Gray.
Good morning. How you do?
I'm always fine. Mom, Grandma, Grammy, Papa. I mean, always tell me yes, Mom, and no, Mom.
Yeah, man.
What you talking about, Aaron Gray?
Oh, look here. So right now I was talking about the vaccination privileges, right? Mm-hmm. And what they support. What are they? Why are we speaking about them like this? But I had some other things on the list, you know. Like, I also wanted to talk about the Disney-sponsored business incubator opening in Eleuthera. Right? It's an Eleuthera business hub. Developed with the Eleuthera Chamber and the Access Accelerator Small Business Development Center and Disney Cruise Line, right? And they're giving out $5,000 grants. And it is expected, and I'm taking this from the story, it is expected that some of the businesses will be able to participate in the cruise port. And the question I wanted to ask my audience today is, how do you feel comfortable with that? Because that seemed like a little bit of bribery to me. It just seemed like that. Then I also wanted to talk about this story about BPC, Bahamas Petroleum Company.
Get it, engineer.
Boy, look here, and that made me think, what is happening here? Right? and ask about, I wanted to ask about the name change. Why are they changing their name? Now, the story says they're changing their name because they have now added business interests in other jurisdictions, I think like Guyana and Trinidad, so they're not Bahamas-centric anymore, right?
Right.
But that seemed like, that seemed, I want to use this word very carefully. It seemed a little scammy to me.
I want to use a better word, Constantine, like Beamy would say.
But here's the thing, right? There's another will to, okay, so they applying for their third extension period, right? It's subject to renewal June 2021. But here's the thing. As far as the government is concerned, they have yet to settle their licensing fees from the previous licenses. So what is in your name before we have determined whether you satisfy all your debts in the Bahamas? That's very concerning to me. But I see you're gone, Pumpkin Eater. I don't know what happened. Your call dropped. So there's a couple of things I was talking about. I was also talking about the logistics with the vaccine rollout, well, with the whole pandemic and the government's response to it, right? Why don't we have free testing? Well, callers, y'all hold the line. My producer had to go run, do something important. If you could hold on, former. But why don't we have free testing? Why do we have these costs associated with the travel visa? And every single time you travel, there shouldn't be any costs associated with it. I understand administrative and clerical fees, like you need to literally pay for the, to produce the document. But why isn't it you only pay once when you get it the first time? Right? Who compensates people when there's an issue in the travel visa logistics on the government side? Why don't we have free masks? Why are we ticketing and financially penalizing people, right? For not wearing masks, but not giving them masks. Anyway, I got another text. What you mean, unclean? I love Kong. People around the world are eating animals like insects and cockroaches, dogs, cats, rats, bats, all kinds of things. But that's why I texted. That's why I was so very careful to indicate to the texter that we respect your personal religious or a collective religious perspective. But that shouldn't, you shouldn't wish harm on the rest of us because we want to eat Kong. Now the text, hey Aaron, they make such pronouncements in private places because they answer to and takes instructions from those same persons. Great show, things needed saying. Boy, boy. And I hope, I'm waiting, because if I say in it, it's too late. Aaron in the comedy show cracking jokes and talking foolishness. If Aaron is saying it, it's too late. Where are the other stakeholders in society? Where is the legal community? Where is the chamber and the various industry aspects in that community? Where is the Christian council? This is not about whether you should or should not take the vaccine. This is about, where is the information I need as a citizen or as the leader of a family to make informed decisions about the entire process, right? If I don't take the vaccine, will you allow my employer to force me to pay for my own testing to come to work? Another text, hi, the CDC is telling Minnis what to do. That's an unfair statement, right? We really have to delve into how supranational or intergovernmental organizations and organizations at this level work. It's easy and it's quick to say that the CDC is telling Minnis what to do, but there are many, many instances where organizations just like them or similar to them give the government instructions. And when I say instructions, I mean like instructions, like we just had a court case, and now this is what we're suggesting you do next. Anyway, I got a caller on the line. Thank you for holding on, caller. Caller, you on the clock.
I don't get to my phone. I know you're having technical problems. So
probably.
I don't get to my point before you get cut off again.
Yeah, man, let's do it quick.
I don't like you today. You know, man, that's the call us. The producer and Ruth, no more I used to be.
A long
time ago.
It have to be technical issues. That's all
right.
It is.
No, but listen, I agree with the one in Elutra. I like that deal.
Yeah.
But in that deal, we need to probably read it someday to get. I think everybody got a small companies or small business get $1 million every year. But Elutra, and I think that's going to turn Elutra around more and give a lot of young people and business opportunities.
Man, listen, I need to verify that. Because
yeah, it's right there. It was in a newspaper. I think your own Guardian Radio reported it.
Okay.
With the lovely anchor woman, the anchor in the morning time.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, but the second point, you were talking about the second point with this debate. I love debate. And I heard the chairman, what the chairman said this morning today for them. But I disagree with him because you know that's deeper than democracy. That's what the great Hubert Ingraham, when he introduced private radio stations, he said, we do it to defend the rock democracy so punk and either and pauper them could run their mouth, gabba, that's what he called it.
Yeah.
So I don't know why the chairman don't go back to
the legacy of the party.
No, the legacy of the great Hubert Ingraham party, yes.
Yeah.
Leadership. And don't be afraid, because they're the one who deepened democracy. The PLP, give the first communication with radio of the Zionists, but they say Zionists was a government station, and Zionists was a propaganda station under the Zelindan, and now the great Cuban are going to deepen it. What they're afraid of?
Yeah.
So you deepen democracy. You can't go on to deepen democracy. Then on the other hand, you're afraid.
Boy, Pumpkin Eater, look here. I am out of time, and I got to try read the rest of these texts before the end of the show. But just a note. When I leave here, I'm running over to UB to see if I could run down some members of their debate committee and beg them to come on my show to talk about it as soon as possible. A text here says, clearly, fully vaccination does not prevent a potential spread. Therefore, the manipulation practices seeking to increase the numbers of persons willing to receive vaccinations is ill-advised and reckless, particularly since the after effects of COVID on the body is not clear at this point. Yes, you're right. And the government has said this, right? And the health teams have said this. Vaccination will not fully prevent the spread, but they are hoping that it reduces drastically your chances of getting severely ill. And they're saying that seeing whether it reduces your chance of passing it on to somebody. Hi, our boy Bannister may call from the grave and remind us only one term for all those parties, RIP. Boy Bannister, they call your name today to remind me to practice empathy and grace. Use a Bahamian too, no matter how bad you talk about me. No, I just use that word scammy. It ain't really scammy. I'm sorry I couldn't get to all of your texts today. We're going to continue this conversation as the week goes on. And like I say, I'm heading over to UB to go grab some of them lectures and see if I could get them on air. The last text is, systemic change is necessary, but it's hard to convince those who've become comfortable with the system to change. I'm so glad I took the time to read that text. Thank you, Texter. You are so right. It requires us. For this system to change, it requires us first to change. Thank you for tuning into 96.9 FM and On the Clock with Erin Green. It's 11 a.m. That means Levon Miller and Unleashed is up next. Have a great day, Bahamas.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.